As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Here we go, postseason 2025, Cubs-Padres Tuesday, 12:08 Pacific, Nick Pivetta opposite, to be determined for the Cubs. Sean and Jim with you here on the wrap-up show. Padres finished the regular season hot. They win 7 of 8. They get to 90 wins in back-to-back years for the first time ever. And now all that really matters is what happens on Tuesday and Wednesday and potentially Thursday, as the Padres look to remain unbeaten all-time in wild-card series. They're 3-0 all-time since that debuted back in 2020. So let's talk about it over the next hour. We're going to get you ready for Tuesday early afternoon. 12:08 is the start time. John and Jim with you. Please subscribe to this channel. We need to get to 9,700 subscribers. I feel like I've been saying that for a month. So if you're new to this channel or if you haven't subscribed, please do that. I think we're 29 subscribers from 9,700. So please help us get to 10,000 this postseason and help us get to 9,700 here tonight. Smash the like button for us. You can follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We appreciate all your super chats and your support of this channel from day one, whether it's in season or out of season or in the postseason. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get to all of your super chats. We appreciate your support of the channel. And if you want to become a member, I'm working on some playoff emojis. If you want to become a member, click the join button down below. Good weekend, obviously, Jim. I mean, Arizona came here alive. We talked about it Friday. Padres ended their postseason hopes, Arizona's. And then the Padres just kind of cruising. Yes, they lost Ramon Laureano, as we've known. Yes, Elias Diaz is now dealing with something, the personal catcher for Nick Pivetta. So we'll see. But the Padres are hot entering the postseason, although dealing with some injuries, like the Cubs are as well. Because the Cubs have the biggest injury, obviously, because their game one starter is unavailable for the wild card series.
Yeah, Cade Horton, he's out. I don't know who their game one starter is going to be. My guess is Matthew Boyd. But yep, they could also go
either Imanaga. Boyd or Imanaga.
I mean, if you're going to go Boyd, Imanaga, game one, game two, I don't know who they're going to go game three. But anyway, we'll worry about that later. It's all about game one on Tuesday afternoon. First up, what do you make of the afternoon starts in this series?
I'm completely cool with it. It was my expectation. We talked about it for a week or two. Most games at Wrigley start at 2 o'clock Central. The postseason has basically, I mean, three of the starts are going to be in the daytime. You were either playing like 10 a.m., noon, or what's the Eastern, or 3 p.m. You were either playing at 10 a.m., noon, or 3 p.m. because you weren't playing late because that was going to be the Dodgers at home. So you're playing 10 a.m., noon, or 3. Those are the only three options. I'm completely cool with it. It's postseason baseball. I have no issue with it at all.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with it from like a Padres perspective. I was just thinking more of like from a fan's perspective. Like,
it's, I mean, all of the start times suck from a fan perspective, all of them. 10 a.m. better?
Like the primetime games, so. Dodgers, Reds, like, fucking break.
Well, it would be hard to have the Dodgers Red start any other time if you're going to have a game start at 9:07 Eastern.
Right.
Would be my guess.
I get it. But anyway, moving on. You know how we always preach, right? In every baseball season, You want to be playing your best baseball at the end of the year. You want to be hot going into the postseason. For what it's worth, I mean, how much is it worth? We'll find out. But the Padres did win 7 of 8 to finish off their year to get to 90 wins, kind of a staple of a Mike Schilt team. Say what you want about Mike Schilt and, you know, his post-game stuff and just whatever about him. But he does constantly win 90 games as a manager, right? And that's a pretty damn good quality to have. 90 wins is like the benchmark for Mike Schilt-led teams. And they're going into the postseason not fully healthy, but the Cubs aren't fully healthy. And they're scoring a lot of runs. We'll see if this translates on the road against a good team. Because the last time the Padres played a good team on the road, do I even count the Mets as a good team? Probably not, right?
Oh, yeah. This year's Mets team, probably not. If they're talking about the wild card in 2022, no, probably not this year's team.
So the last good team the Padres played on the road was the Mariners at the end of August, and they lost 2 of 3 in that series.
I mean, they lost 2 out of 3 in every series against these better than 500 teams, by and large. Who's the one series win they had against a playoff team on the road?
The Brewers.
That's a pretty good result. You know, considering they had the most wins.
But it starts on Tuesday afternoon. Nick Pivetta already named the game one starter. I don't know about you. I feel pretty good where this team's at. I do. I think they're swinging the bats well. Opponent be damned. I mean, they swung the bats well in the Brewers series, albeit the final game of the series there. But this weekend, I mean, they took it to the D-backs. There's nothing to take away from this series at all. Like, other than the fact that, you know, we're now in the postseason, and there's rumors that game two, we might see Dylan Cease on the mound, which would be kind of interesting, but I also kind of would get it if they're playing the numbers game.
Right. He's got good numbers at Wrigley Field. Let's be fair. Since the wild card wins instituted, no team has ever lost game one and won a series. So the whole thing is game one.
But no John team is ever.
Yes.
Don't use the U word. Do not use the U word. If you know what I'm talking about. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Never mind. You'll have to watch it. It's Manny Machado.
Are you talking about Manny?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He hates reporters. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I missed it in the context. I gotcha.
Because where you're going with this is, I'm guessing that the urgency to win game one is at an all-time high based on your stat. But according to Manny Machado, there's no urgency. Maybe that's why he hits 215 in the postseason, but I digress.
I mean, game one's everything. The winner of game one has a very high likelihood of winning the series. That's a baseball fact. In a three-game series, the winner of game one will have a very high likelihood of winning the series. And I mean, I'm trusting Nick Pivetta. We went through the home road numbers just the other day. And yes, his home numbers were better. You know, his road numbers aren't poor, but he's a much better pitcher at home. The Padres, I mean, listen, I love everything about what I've seen from the Padres over the last week against Milwaukee and Arizona. But what happened against Milwaukee and Arizona happened in San Diego, California. And what's going to happen in this series is going to happen in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah.
And that is everything to the Padres, to your point on their 1-10 record roughly in series against good teams. 38-43 on the road is now 52-29 at home. And if you could bottle up 52-29, if you could bottle up Jackson Merrill's at bats and Fernando Tatis Jr. homering in 3 of the last 4 games, you get the point. Yeah. Then you hope you can. There's a world in which you can. There's a world in which they score 8 runs and win 8-2 on Tuesday. So I hope to live in that world. But we have to be honest. They have not been the same team on the road. Nick Pivetta has not been the same starting pitcher on the road as he has been at home. And this is going to take quite an effort, in my opinion. Now, I think you can get to either Imanaga or Boyd. They have not pitched well in the second half of the year. Imanaga has allowed 12 home runs in his last 6 starts, which is a massive number. And the Padres are hitting home runs. So the key to the Padres' success is they don't lose when they lead after 6 innings, by and large. In the regular season, that was their strength. When they led after 6 innings, they won at a better than 90% clip. They have to find a way to score first. It was a bugaboo in August. They took care of it the last week of the season. It's going to be fascinating to watch how it plays out. I think the teams are somewhat evenly matched, honestly. I would argue if this was neutral field, I'd say advantage Padres. because of the game one injury to Cade Horton. If this was in San Diego, I'd say clear advantage Padres. With it being in Chicago, I think it's a clear toss up. And real quick, the betting odds is Chicago minus 123, a slight favorite. San Diego plus 102, roughly. So 125, 105, 53, 54, 55% chance, according to bettors, for the Cubs to move on. 45, 46, 47% chance for the Padres to move on. That to me is a coin toss and a toss up, and that's how I see the series.
Yeah, look, I'm taking the Padres in three. I think it's going to be a close series. I do. I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. And look, I'm just going to bank on the Padres bullpen being the deciding factor in the series. Mm-hmm. I think everything else feels like a toss up, especially with Cade Horton out. You know, Padres have key injuries, Cubs have key injuries. So with that being said, like, I think it's going to have to be the bullpen that is the deciding factor here for the Padres, especially Mason Miller. Now I will say, looking at some numbers here that are a little scary. Now, again, come postseason time, this guy, he could give up four runs in the first inning because it's the postseason. Things get weird. You know, sometimes regular season numbers don't translate, and all of a sudden it's like, what the hell just happened? But if Matthew Boyd is the game one starter for the Cubs, he's 12-1 at home with a 2.51 ERA and 15 starts this year. So, like, that's not great, right? When you look at it, you know, and Nick Pivetta on the road's got a 3.55 ERA. So yeah, look, if the Padres lose this series in three, and it's a close series, which I'm predicting it will be,
right?
Say they lose in three, and we'll talk about all the moves and everything it makes. It will come down to the fact that the Padres missed out on getting home field, and I feel like that will be a huge reason. And a big thing that we'll be looking at of, like, if they had home field, they're winning the series. Because they don't have home field, if they lose the series, then I think we'll point to that as one of the first things that we blame.
Yeah, no, it's well said. I mean, great point on Boyd, because I didn't realize that. I had seen his last 11 starts a 5.16. His first 20, a 2.2.
Yeah, not great.
So, but here's the thing, his last 11 starts, eight of them might have been on the road. So that doesn't take into effect home road. And, I mean, those are damn good home numbers.
But, so his last three home starts, John?
Yeah.
All right. In September. September 6th against Washington's, seven innings, two earned runs. September 12th at home against Tampa Bay, five innings, four earned runs. And his last start this past week against the Mets at home, 5 2/3, two earned runs.
Not invincible. I mean, those are fine numbers, but I mean, four runs in five innings is, you know, he's been good. Obviously, his home numbers tell the story, but it looks like down the stretch of the year, he was not the same pitcher he was to start the year. And the same thing can be said about Shota Imanaga. And if it's going to come down to pitching, which happens in the postseason, I do think that's advantage Padres with Pivetta going game one, with this bullpen that you're going to stretch out as long as you can possibly stretch it. Now, listen, the Cubs have some lefty relievers in there. Remember the name Drew Pomeranz? He's one of them.
I completely forgot, by the way.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the Padres, I mean, everyone thinks the Padres have a better bullpen. I think most people would lean Cubs lineup, although the Padres have swung the bats well here down the stretch. Wind blowing in, wind blowing out, always a consideration at Wrigley Field. I don't know if it's going to be as much about the wind as it is just going to be about who pitches better and more effectively and who gets the lead. I feel like if the Padres can play from ahead, they're going to win this series. But they haven't always been able to play from ahead here in the last couple of weeks. Let's get to some of the Super Chats. Guys, about 450 people here live right now. Please subscribe to this channel. Let's get to 9,700 subscribers with your help. Please subscribe if you're here live or on replay. And thank you for the Super Chats, and thank you for the Super Thanks if you are here on replay as well. No Mama gets us started by saying, is my boy Hart coming back? Let's go Friar. So he was optioned for JP Sears to start this game here today. I don't know the particulars on an option that would happen in the regular season before a postseason series. They have to announce the roster, I don't even know what it is, X amount of hours before the game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm not overly concerned, although Mike Shield has said that the expectation is for all five of these starters in the rotation to be on the wild card roster, which I think to some would be a surprise. That's not how it's typically done with Major League Baseball teams in the wild card round. They don't typically have five starters in a wild card series roster, but we might see that out of the Padres, and we might see Randy Vasquez operating as a potential long man if necessary.
So if I'm looking at their postseason roster right now, I'm looking at their starters. If they have all five guys on the postseason roster that are
that's my guess.
Okay.
So what Schilt said.
So in your bullpen, you got Robert Suarez, Bradley Rodriguez, Wandy Peralta, Adrian Morejone, Mason Miller, Jeremiah Estrada. Those are my, like, I think, locks in the bullpen. Would you agree?
Did you say Morgan?
I didn't say David Morgan yet. I'm just giving you locks. I think David Morgan you can put in there, and then Yuki Matsui, right?
That would be how many pitchers in the bullpen?
That would be 8 in the bullpen. If you're putting Vasquez out there, that's 9 in the bullpen.
So that'd be 13 pitchers.
And then if you're going to put, I mean, King or Darvish, whoever doesn't pitch, it's a little risky, but at the same time, you know, all hands on deck. So
you shouldn't need more than a full complement of bullpen that you have in the regular season in a wild card series. As in, you could add an additional reliever and take a starter off the wild card roster, but should you really need it, would be my point.
And let's be real here. If the Padres have a lead after 5, you're going to be seeing Mason Miller, Jeremiah Estrada, Robert Suarez, and Adrian Morejone for a lot of outs. Those guys are going to get a lot of work. And I'll throw Wandy Peralta in there too to face the Cubs left-handed bats. But like those five guys,
I agree.
I think they're going to ride those five guys if they have a lead for sure.
Yeah, completely. Especially, and this is a short series. Yes, there's no off days in it, but you can see pitchers all three of these games, potentially, obviously in relief. That's a possibility for both of these teams. John, thank you, man, for the very generous super chat. We appreciate you. He says, John and Jim, thanks for the Padres wrap-up show. I've been watching Cubs television. Boyd is their number one, but Imanaga is number two. With a piggyback long relief, heavy right-handed to deal with Toddy, Manny, and X. Cubs suck at fastballs. I'm scared and confident. LFGSD. I don't know if they've announced Boyd as their number one.
They haven't.
I think to your point, Jim, I think it will be Boyd unless they have some card up their sleeve.
Right.
But I'd be surprised if it wasn't Boyd in game one for the Cubs.
I would be surprised too. I know Imanaga has really good career numbers against the Padres. Like,
that's a great point.
Yeah. Like really good career numbers against the Padres. So we'll see. But I do think that we're going to see lefty-lefty game one and game two. Game three, I have no idea. Maybe they move Imanaga game three. I don't know. Maybe they have Imanaga game one, Boyd game three, and they go like someone else game two. I have no clue. I do like where the Padres are at offensively as a team, because this, you know, during this 7 wins in 8 game stretch here, they've been really good offensively. And Fernando Tatis Jr., if you haven't watched, he's ready to go. Now we'll see if it carries over into the postseason, but hard to doubt him in a postseason series, because all he's done in his career in the postseason is just fucking mash. So why would I doubt him? Right.
Yeah, and I think the Padres have actually hit decent pitching. You might say, well, this Arizona series was, you know, pointless, but it really wasn't. I mean, Zach Allen was thrown on Friday, and it was a righty. They threw a lefty on Saturday. You know, Rodriguez. It doesn't really – to me, it's more about the confidence than it is even who you are facing there. It doesn't even matter. I mean, you were never going to be facing – it's not like you face Matt Boyd and showed Imanaga. So you're always going to be facing a different – pitcher heading into the postseason, but confidence matters in a sport like baseball. The Padres should be very confident right now. Look at the way Jackson Merrill is swinging the bat. Even Manny today homering. To your point on Tatis, like they have the pieces in place that give you confidence in their lineup that we didn't necessarily have over the course of even the beginning of September when they were really struggling. So I think the Padres lineup is in a fine spot. I think the Cubs lineup is a good lineup, and we've seen that. I've been watching the Cubs the last 10 days because of this Padres-Cubs, you know, thing that's playing out between the 4 and 5 seed. We've been watching them on TV. I think they have a very good lineup. And we saw a lot of it without Kyle Tucker, who's now returned. He's not 100%, by the way. I don't think he's running at 100%, but he is back in their lineup. And he's a huge piece. I mean, he's a guy that could be a 900 OPS type bat in the middle of that lineup. But I would favor the Cubs lineup, but I would favor the Padres pitching. And if it came down to what would I prefer to have, a little bit of a better lineup or a little bit of a better rotation or staff, I'd take the pitching. So I'm banking on that. And that's why, you know, I'm hopeful in the Padres' chances, because I do feel like the loss of Cade Horton coupled with the Padres' bullpen strength honestly should be enough. I mean, it's going to be disappointing if the Padres don't win the series. I know they've been terrible on the road. 38 and 43, bad against good teams. I know they've been written off constantly by a lot of people in the second half of the year. Like, season's over, they're not going to win on the road. I still come at it from the point of, if they don't win this series, that's a pretty significant disappointment. And we all feel, heading into this 48 hours out or less, they're fully capable of doing this. This is not some overmatched team that they're taking on. They're not taking on a 110-win team. It's not who they're taking on. So the Padres, it's right in their hands. Like, it's going to be very disappointing if Manny Machado and the San Diego Padres come up short in a series like this that they're built to win, essentially.
Yeah, this is not even close to a David Goliath situation. This is pretty even. I bet you a lot of people are going to pick the Padres in this series, to be honest with you. You know, like you mentioned, their lineup, Jackson Merrill, he has shown up in September. Fernando Tatis Jr. is postseason ready. You know, Xander Bogaerts even had a home run today.
He's been good.
One player in the Padres lineup that could be like that, that's what I'm looking for, like unsung hero, like random, not random, but just like, what, that guy killed us in this series, if you're a Cubs fan, is Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Do you know what Ryan O'Hearn has done lately, John?
Yeah, I saw it just a couple of days ago. He was like 8 for his last 16, so he's been red hot.
He's on a 9-game hitting streak. He had 2 more hits today. He's hitting .462 over the last week, .327 over his last 15 games. Of course, like I said, riding a 9-game winning streak, multiple hit games in there. Having him get hot right now is perfect for the middle to bottom half of your lineup. So it lengthens things out, especially with the loss of Ramon Laureano. You know, you need a bat after the top guys in the middle to bottom half. And I do think that the Cubs are going to be looking at Ryan O'Hearn as like, fuck, another guy. Like, we got the Cubs, the Padres lineup, while their offense this year hasn't been even close to a top 10 offense, you know, they still have names. Like, you don't think the Cubs are going to go in this series and be like, yo, Tatis, Arise, who is also hot, by the way, Manny, I know he's been awful in the postseason in his career, but it's still Manny Machado. You got to account for it and respect him. Merrill, who's swinging a hot bat, Bogaerts, O'Hearn. Like, they're going to be a team that is not going to be an easy out, knock on wood.
I mean, this is what it boils down. The more I get into this, to your point, they're not an easy out at all. And I agree with you. I'm sure it's a, yeah, I'm sure the advanced scouting from the Cubs' perspective is like, the Padres are legitimate, really good. You know? Yeah, they're fully capable. I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way heading into the postseason. But here's the deal. Can the Padres' left-handed bats hit left-handed starting pitching?
Yep.
When it really, 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 really matters. Because in looking at the numbers, like, Boyd's tough on freaking lefties. 576 OPS for the year. And then Imanaga is pretty tough on lefties. 629 OPS against left-handed batters this year. Like, those are not just good, those are damn good numbers for starters against left-handed pitching, or excuse me, left-handed hitting. And the Padres are going to load up from the left side because they have no other choice. They have some excellent left-handed hitters, by the way, the Padres do. But can they hit left-handed pitching when it matters in these, you know, magnified at-bats and sequences with runners in scoring position, or when they have opportunities? Are they going to come through, whether it's against Boyd, Imanaga, or the four left-handed relievers, if they don't even have more than that, that the Cubs are going to have on this postseason roster. That, to me, probably tells the story. If the Padres are loose, free, come through in some big spots, lefty on lefty, they'll likely win the series. If they look like they've looked at times against left-handed pitching this year, they could be in dire straits. So do the lefties hit lefties? Typically, you think advantage pitcher in that scenario, especially against a Padres team that has not necessarily been clutch against left-handed pitching, but you got some hot hitters that are going to have to remain hot against good left-handed pitching.
I'm just hoping that the Padres team that shows up in this series is closer to the team that they played like at home than they did on the road. Because if they show up as how they looked on the road all year long, they're losing the series. It's just simple as that. If they show up to Wrigley Field on Tuesday and they play like they've played all year long on the road, they're losing the series. There's no other choice but for them to they have to be a better road team in the postseason. Well, not in the entire postseason, but like this series, because every game's on the road, right? So you just have to be a better road team for three games. Plain and simple. You know, you can win series without, you know, you can win a World Series without being like great on the road, but you have to win like all your home games. But wild card series, they have no choice. They have to be a better road team. Have to, because you just look at the difference between them on the road and at home. It's night and day, dude.
Yeah, it is night and day. And listen, like you said, the Padres have won 7 of 8 heading into the postseason. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know what it's worth. The Cubs really struggled. Yes, they had this weekend against the Cardinals in this inconsequential series, but remember, they had that 5-game losing streak in there. They lost a big game to the Mets last week as well. I was literally just there this past weekend, and I'm overhearing people say, I heard a guy with his two young kids, and the kids were like, "That's Wrigley, Dad." He's like, "Yeah." And I forget where the conversation went, but he said, "Man, they've had a lot of struggles in there over the years. Like, that's Wrigley Field, and that is not some friendly confines, even though, you know, it's called the friendly confines. Like, there's no guarantee." You think Cubs fans are going into this series confident? I do not. No. I do not think that it's a, like, a guarantee that they're going to win this series. They haven't been in the postseason since 2020. You know, the Cubs have not won a postseason game since 2017. They haven't won a postseason game in nearly a decade. So this isn't, to your point, this is no David Goliath. I think that the Cubs haven't been in 5 years. The Cubs had a good year. The Padres had a good year. Yes, home field matters, but I don't know if that's going to be the end-all be-all at the end of the series or not. Sunriser, thank you, says, "Let's go Padres. Booked a visit to the Wednesday game. Buddy can no longer make it, so have an extra ticket. If a Padres fan in Chicago that can make it, let me know. Need to sit next to me, LOL." Well, I don't know how they would let you know, but that's pretty cool, potentially.
It's cool.
How they would let you know, you'll have to let us know in the chat. So let people know how they could let you know in the chat, because that's a pretty cool offer potentially for a Padres fan that's going to be in Chicago. It's going to be awesome to, if you're there, middle of the afternoon, Chicago, Wrigley Field. It's like all you'd ever want, obviously, as a baseball day fan.
Game, a day game at Wrigley, yeah. Bro.
That's how it's meant to be.
It's next level. And a playoff game, bro.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, the atmosphere and everything is going to be awesome. But thank you, Sunriser. All right, let's get back to this conversation in a moment. Do want to thank our title sponsor here on the wrap-up show, Mark Nimitz, who's been with us for a number of postseasons at this point. He's been with us on the wrap-up show for over 4 years. So if you support this channel, please support our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, at Farmers Insurance. If you have an insurance need, trust us. He's going to take care of you and your family. He's done it for us. If you ever need Mark, he's going to be there for you, whether it's auto or home or renters or life. I have 3 insurance policies through Mark, and he has saved us time and money. I had to file a claim in 2022, and he took care of everything. So if you support this channel, if you have any insurance need, before you just renew your current policy, get in contact with a San Diegan, a lifelong Padres fan, someone that's going to be living and dying in every pitch this week, just like you and I, and everyone is going to be doing. So if you have an insurance need, if you support this channel, get in contact with our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on that ticker below, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. And you reach out to Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the wrap-up show sent you.
All right, please subscribe if you are here. 500 people here live right now, many more on replay. Please subscribe, and thank you for the super chats and the super thanks, like this one here from JDMLSR2000, who says, team looked great this week. Hopefully wisdom was extracted from last year's 24-inning drought. I had forgotten about that, honestly, tonight in L.A. Manny didn't want to talk about it, by the way. Can Schilt's time in St. Louis help in this series? I mean, it didn't help against the Dodgers in those 24 innings last year. I don't think this is really about Mike Schilt in terms of what the offense does. I think Mike Schilt's going to be under a microscope too, but not – he will not be accountable, in my opinion, Jim, if they go in 18 innings and score two runs and lose 5-1, 5-1. Like that, to me, in all likelihood, is not going to be on Mike Schilt. It's going to be on the same old cast of characters, this offense.
Yeah. Largely in the postseason – managers are criticized mostly for their pitching moves and pitching changes. Now with the DH, you don't have to worry about double switches, and it's been like that for a while now, so who cares? Lineup, okay, right, whatever. But the pitching moves that he makes, those are the times that the manager is going to be under the microscope the most. That's it. When the team goes over or they go 24 scoreless innings, I mean, we weren't blaming Mike Schilt for that last year. We were discussing what Mike Schilt decided to do in games one to pitch to Ohtani. And then he was a part of a group think that allowed Dylan Cease to go out there on 3 days rest in game four. But everything else, like, nothing, you know? It's about pitching moves in the postseason and pulling the trigger at the right time and making the right moves out of that bullpen. That's the manager. That's the job of the manager in the postseason, is making the right moves out of the bullpen, because that determines everything.
Yeah, because you're making so many consequential decisions, and you could be doing it very early, and they're all tied to each other. If you go to the bullpen with one out in the fourth inning, can you get the necessary outs to put yourself in a position to get to the Mason Millers or the Robert Suarez's at some point? When do you go to the Mason Millers and the Robert Suarez's? It doesn't have to be in eighth or ninth innings. The same thing with an Adrian Morejon. This is the thing that will be widely discussed. And let's remember, the Padres bullpen, as good as it's been, has not been perfect, especially post-deadline and down the stretch. Mason Miller's been near perfect. He's been, had a remarkable year. He's never pitched in the postseason in his career, ever. And he's pitching in the postseason on Tuesday, in all likelihood. So you have to consider all this. And these are going to be big spots, Jim, they're put in against a good lineup in potentially big spots, as to consistently come through. Let's hope they can do it, because they have by and large come through, but this is the true test, obviously, coming up this week.
Yep. Absolutely.
JD Goucher, thank you. Says October is as much about the stars as it is the supporting cast. You need the cronies, Edmonds, not necessarily Edmund, but I get your point. Sheets, Kims, and the others to up their game. Yeah, yes and no. I mean, we have no idea who's going to be batting with two outs in the fourth inning in a 1-1 game with runners at second and third. Mm-hmm. And if you come through there and make it 3-1, you win the game. And if you pop out, you might lose the game. So it could be Manny Machado. It could be Jake Cronenworth. But clearly we're not going to spend time here later in the week and be like, if only Jose Iglesias had a better series. I mean, we're going to be pointing at three people, four people. And that's how sports...
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting, confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. With the new Ace line, looking effortlessly sophisticated this fall is easy and comfortable. Stock up on crazy cozy sweatpants, shorts, and sweatshirts that elevate your style. They even have blazers, if you're lucky enough to grab one while they're in stock. Mack Weldon balances classic pieces with updated details to keep you looking sharp. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made with the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MAC25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MAC25.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Work.
Yeah, who's going to be that Josh Bell player that scoreless in the fourth inning, some, you know, like Cronenworth hits a home run or to break the tie? Like, you know what I mean? Like, who's going to be that guy? Now, you do need the stars to step up for sure when they're in those moments, but who's going to be that unsung hero? Is it going to be a Ryan O'Hearn? Is it going to be a Jake Cronenworth? Is it going to be Freddie Fermin? Is it going to be, you know,
you're right,
Gavin Sheets, right? Like, who's going to step up if you're one of the others on this team? And then if the others don't step up and they don't do their job or they don't perform, then it falls on the stars, but it falls on the stars in the first place is what I'm trying to say. Like, if the stars don't perform, then you need the others to step up. If the stars perform, they can carry the load. I'm thinking about this series and I'm like, nothing would energize the fan base more than if Manny Machado just went fucking nuclear. Like, I know he's struggled and I know that he's had a really bad finish to his season, but man, one time, Manny, come on, man. One time, bro. Even though you hate us, like, one time, bro.
I mean, it's one of those things that I'll hope for it, but I can't expect it.
I know.
I'll hope for it, but it's not part of like my game planning. Is he going to carry them in a series in the postseason? Like you said, this is the time to do it. I'm kind of banking on him. To your point, Tatis finished hot. And the thing is, you already know he's come through in these spots before. So, like, I'm just hoping to, like, I'm hoping on Machado and I'm expecting on Tatis. Isn't that kind of crazy? Because Tatis had a very odd year, 3 months where he didn't homer, essentially. But the way he finished, specifically in September and then the final four games of the year when he came back from COVID, that's where I'm expecting to see it. Truthfully, I really am, because he's come through clutch in postseason series. I'd be surprised if Tatis was not impactful in the series. I'm expecting big things from Fernando Tatis Jr. And I bet he's expecting the same thing from himself.
Because why would you expect anything else? All he's done in the postseason is rake.
Whatever, so like, his career OPS is ridiculous.
So, like, again, it's like you expect Manny to not do much because in the postseason, he's done nothing or close to nothing. And if the opposite rings true for Toddy, it's like you expect him to show up because all he's done in the postseason is rake.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Let me get to these supers here. Thank you guys for hanging out. This one from Victron 714 says, Bradley Rodriguez, our secret weapon this postseason. It'll be interesting to see how he is used, specifically, let's say Tuesday and Wednesday, because with the complement they have, he's probably, I mean, even if he's in the middle of the pecking order, that's impressive because he's only made 7 appearances in his career in the major league. So even if he's like the fifth highest leverage pitcher you have, when does he when does he appear? Because if you lead 3-1 after five innings, does Bradley Rodriguez appear in that game? My guess is probably not. Would he appear in game two after a game one with a lead after you've used four high leverage relievers? Maybe. But it'll be interesting, I guess, like in what role do they use him considering he's had such a brief stint in the major leagues and obviously has never pitched in the postseason?
Yeah, it definitely will be interesting. My guess is if they were to use him, it would be earlier in the game.
Yep.
In potentially a big spot to get out of that spot. Like, I don't think they would like. I don't see them like, hey, we're going to start the inning with Brad. I think they would use him in a situation where they want to get through an inning early on. Like if it's the fourth inning,
two outs,
there's a runner on second and third, Cubs go up 3-1 and you got to keep this at 3-1.
Yeah, it's a big
you
spot.
You don't want to go to Morejon there, and you don't want to go to Estrada there. You can't go to Miller, and you can't go to Suarez.
Great point.
Like, that's the spot you probably use Bradley Rodriguez, and hopefully it works out. You know, if Schilt did that and it didn't work, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be, like, too mad at it because it makes sense.
It makes sense.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think you pegged it in terms of you're going to go to him in the middle of the inning where you're not asking him to necessarily get three outs and hope he can come through in a high leverage spot to face like one hitter or two. Dylan, thank you. Says Padres are rolling until Xander went down. He comes back and they go 5-1 with great offense. Xander, the MVP.
How many hits did Xander have in his return? Two, one or two
since coming back?
Yeah.
It's more than one, because he had one today. He's had more than one, right?
Okay, he's had four, I think, right? Four?
Well, four's pretty good. It hasn't been. It's such a small sample size. Six games.
Where is it? Oh, no, he's hitting four straight. Okay.
Oh, he's been awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, he has, and he had a ball taken back over the center field wall against Milwaukee. He's been good.
That's true.
He's been good. I mean, I'm not saying he's the reason why they're going to win a postseason series, but he's been good down the stretch. He's an interesting case. He's just an interesting guy. We'll see. Joshua says, can we mention the Mets collapse? Brutal. Of course we can. It's comical. I mean, the fact that the Reds lost today and all the Mets had to do was beat the Marlins, and they didn't even like compete to win that game. And they got shut. You get shut out in a game you have to win. Imagine that.
83 wins.
I can't imagine it. But, it's insane. They were one of the best teams in the National League when they came to Petco back in July.
83 wins got you in the postseason this year.
Insane.
Wow.
Good. Go Reds. I hope the Reds freaking smoke the Dodgers on Tuesday night.
Me too.
I hope they're freaking free and loose and they win 13-0.
Would love nothing more.
Which, by the way, was the score of game one the last time the Padres and Cubs played in the postseason. So let's hope that doesn't happen. J.K. Rosser, thank you for the super. Sending positive vibes to the Friar faithful LFGSD. By the way, 1984, the Padres had home field but played the first two on the road. This is how baseball used to do it. Dumbest thing ever. They lost the two at Wrigley, won the three at the Murph, right? This is a little different.
Why? Why is that? It's the dumbest thing ever. Now, I don't care because I wasn't alive back then. So
it's been 41 years. Yeah.
Who cares for myself? Dude, if that happened in today's game, people would like lose their fucking minds.
When they instituted the wild card, dude, when they went to the one, not the one game wild card, but when they added the fourth team. Remember whenever that was in the 90s? And it was a 5-game series. When they added the divisional round. Yeah. That's how they did it initially.
Yeah, three were the two, on the road. Yeah.
It was so freaking dumb. And they did that in the 90s.
So dumb.
So it wasn't just the 80s. J.K. Rosser, the thank you, man, saying sending positive vibes to the Friar faithful. I bet there'll be a lot of Padres fans in the building at Wrigley on Tuesday. I think the vibes are good with the team. I think people are, is it fair to say, cautiously optimistic? I think people are scared. You should be. That's how it works. You walk on eggshells. You know, that's basically how this works. I bet the Yankees fans are thinking the same thing against the Red Sox and vice versa. It's kind of an eggshell time of year. These are short series. You know, survive in advance. So
what did did you see what Ramon Laureano said about his injury because his finger's in a splint?
That about him being like optimistic or whatever?
He said that he has delusional hope.
Yeah.
That's my new saying for watching sports.
I do.
I'm watching teams that I root for or want to win. I always will have delusional hope.
We need some delusional hope, man.
Delusional hope. That's the rallying. Delusional hope, everybody. Let's all have delusional hope.
Put it on a t-shirt. Put it in a Lucky Box mystery vending machine. Use our promo code the next time you're at a Lucky Box. That promo code, this is not hard to remember. It's the word Padres, all lowercase letters. The word Padres, all lowercase letters for $5 off. You can walk away with some terrific, terrific sports cards or Pokemon cards or autographed jerseys. You choose if you want a Pokemon card or a sports card or an autographed jersey. And it could be Patrick Mahomes signed jersey. It could be a Fernando Tatis Jr. autographed card. It could be a Pokemon card that's good. I don't know what that would be, but it could be a good Pokemon card. It could be a Tom Brady card and so on and so forth. So if you want $5 off, these are, by the way, all over the country now, including a Chicago O'Hare, if you're heading there this week, JFK in New York. Las Vegas has 15 or 20 of these machines. They're coming to Southern California as well. Click the link in the description down below to see all the locations of a Lucky Box vending machine. And when you get to one, you got to try it and you got to use our promo code. Padres is the promo code, P-A-D-R-E-S, all lowercase, for $5 off.
Yeah, and go to LuckyBoxVending.com to sign up to be a member of the Golden Ticket Club. You can get insider perks, early location drops, and exclusive opportunities to win giveaways, like authenticated signed memorabilia for free. All you got to do is sign up using your email and your phone number. It's free of charge. Just go to LuckyBoxVending.com or scan a QR code at any machine in the country.
All right, so 500 people hanging out right now. Please subscribe. Year-round content for you, including postseason content. We were thinking about doing a preview show Tuesday morning, are we not?
I think yes. Here. Tell me if you're okay with this for our Tuesday schedule, because tomorrow we'll have John and Jim 2 to 6 p.m.
Yeah, that's fine.
Tuesday, let's do a pregame show from 10 to 11.
Yeah, I have to be off by 11 too.
Let's do John and Jim. I have no idea when we're going to start. Most likely 2 o'clock.
2 p.m. During the game. That'll be thrilling radio.
Really good radio. We're literally going to be watching the game and
yelling.
Yeah, exactly. But also join us on John and Jim after the game. And then we're going to have a wrap-up show later that night to recap game one.
Well, yes, that John and Jim is going to be dope. The second the game ends, come to us. We will cover every angle. Oh, yeah. We'll play all the post-game sound from freaking Council and Schilt and players and and by the way, tomorrow on the show, we'll have Kevin Brown, who's calling the game for ABC. So he'll join us tomorrow. We'll have Kevin Acey on the show tomorrow. Alex Cohen works for the Cubs. We'll have him on the show either tomorrow or Tuesday. I mean, we have you fully covered. So join us on John and Jim. Join us on the wrap-up show throughout this postseason run. Hopefully it's a lengthy run. I mean, it could be anything from ending October 1st to ending like Halloween. Halloween's preferred. Halloween would be preferred.
That'd be nice.
JD Gaucho, thank you. He says Pete Alonso opted out after the game, now free agent. As expected, he will be a free agent for whatever it's worth. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. we could talk about free agency when the season is over for the Padres as opposed to for the Mets. I'm trying to think about like what else has played out, like just from like a news and notes perspective in terms of whether it's roster decisions. They won't announce a game two. They're supposed to announce a game two starter tomorrow, right?
I know one thing that we could talk about.
Yeah.
Elias Diaz might be off the postseason roster because of his oblique injury.
Yeah,
that means step up. Luis Barry Bonds, Campusano.
Can you imagine that storyline though?
Dude.
Like, imagine if the first time he did anything was in a postseason.
I can tell you what, Jeremy Pimp Lord, man, he would lose it.
in a good way or
no, in a good way. No one carries the Campusano flag like him. So shout out to you, buddy.
It'll be. I feel like Diaz is going to be on the roster.
Really? Okay.
I mean, that's Nick Pivetta's catcher, man. You better be freaking hurt to not be available.
He's his catcher, but also Freddie Freeman has caught Nick Pivetta. So it's not like...
Well, Fermin has. I don't know about Freeman.
Did I say Fermin? I said Fermin. Sorry, I don't know. You? Freddie Fermin has caught Nick Pivetta. So it's not like he's never caught him before.
Right.
But
I think Diaz said he was going to be available. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't.
Okay. I mean, Martin Maldonado still in the organization as well.
True, but Campy's...
He hit a home run at Wrigley Field off of Imanaga earlier this year.
That's a great point. Secret weapon
off the bench.
I mean, what's the biggest roster question? I mean, maybe Diaz's health. I'd still be surprised if he wasn't on the roster. What other question is there about the Padres postseason roster?
Diaz and maybe if they're going to put on Vasquez or not.
I thought I read from Schilt said Saturday that the expectation was for all five starters to be on the roster. And the way they use Vasquez today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
My guess is like the way that Vasquez would be used is if they blow through all their top guys and we get to like the 11th inning and you need a little bit of length. Maybe you go to Vasquez.
That's a good point.
But even then, I mean, even then, I think Mason Miller is going to be used for multiple innings, and I expect
you're not going to use Mason Miller. Like, here's the thing: I mean, Mason Miller isn't going to be entering games in 11th innings.
No. He's going to be entering games in like the 8th inning or 9th.
Yes, so that's still going to be out there in the 11th.
No. I know that. I'm just saying, if you use Mason Miller for multiple innings in like the 8th and the 9th. And you get to the 10th, depending on where you're at with your bullpen, would you rather have Yuki Matsui out there or would you rather have Randy Vasquez out there?
I'd rather have won the game.
Or do you have Robert Suarez out there and just worry about it later? I don't know. Like, I just think that if they have an opportunity, they're going to use Mason Miller a lot in this series, which is what I would do. You got him for a reason. You got him for a reason. And he's as close to unhittable out of your pen as it gets. And I'm using him in every big situation possible.
True, but it's still the question is, even if you used him every game, how long will you let him work? You know, I don't think you're going to use him multiple innings three times. Maybe they would.
Maybe.
I mean, that would be a pretty significant workload. I expect him to be available and pitch potentially in all three games if it goes three. I don't know if I expect him to go multiple innings three times. Vector 53, thank you. He says, glad the team didn't end the season on a sour note. We'll see. Honestly, you know what I mean? That's my thing about 90 wins. I was like, oh, 90 wins. I don't care if they win 89 games or 90 games. It's all about now. Yeah. And I don't care if they finished on a good note or a sour note because it's all about now. Would you prefer they go 7-1 to finish and lose game one or 1-7 to finish and they win game one? We all know the answer. So we're talking about baseball. Kevin wrote about this tonight in the UT. Look at all these freaking teams. Dodgers suck for 3 months. Reds were 8-16 until 2 weeks ago over a 24-game stretch. Brewers suck down the stretch. Like, the list goes on. Look at the American League. Freaking Detroit had a historically awful finish to the regular season. Cleveland had this ridiculous finish. At one point, it was 15 and a half games back in the division. The point is, it's unpredictable. All of these teams have had highs and lows, by and large. There's no 110-win team. So I don't think you can predict who's going to move on to the postseason based on what happened the final week of the regular season. That's my personal belief, that will not be the end-all, be-all in determining who moves on in the wildcard round.
None. And to your point, earlier, you know, I know Manny hates the word urgency, but he better start learning it, because if you don't win game one, this is how many teams, as you said, have won a series after losing game one? Zero. Game one is so important to winning a best of three in the wild card round, because since the new format, like you said, yeah, no team. I don't know how many series there have been.
12 since 2022. I don't know what happened in 2020, but I'm not counting it. I think every 2020 series was a 2-0 series, wasn't it?
Well, the Padres lost game one in 2020.
Oh, that was a 3-game series. It's every series since 2022. Because that, it's since the wildcard format. Because 2020 was like a, there were more teams in wildcard. Remember, there were 16 playoff teams.
Yeah.
It's every series since 2022. They're 0-12 if you lose game one.
Yeah. Hey, Manny, start learning the word urgency and what it means, because you better have some sense of urgency in game one, pal.
Yeah. And that's every series ever played in front of fans, by the way. You know, and that'll eventually end. Someone's going to lose game one and win a series. And we're talking about a 3-game series. Like, that's going to eventually end.
Eventually, but will, yeah.
So far, so good. Jeff, what's going on, man? Appreciate you. And he says new attendance record, over 3.4 million fans, by the way. Fans need at least an NLDS. Completely agree with that. I mean, you could advance there. And Jim's talked about, you could play your first 5 games in the road if you play 3 games in the wild card and then 2 games, you know, obviously in Milwaukee, if that happens. But if you get to the NLDS, yeah, I mean, imagine the fan base reaction when they finally get back to Petco, if they're in the NLDS and in that series, like 1-1 or better, coming back home in that series. Imagine what that scene is going to be like at Petco.
It's going to be wild. And yeah, looking at the format, that would be on like a Tuesday.
Is that what it would be?
I think it would be on Tuesday. Because you get this. You got the DS. Yeah, it's like the same thing. Now, man, maybe it's Wednesday because they have the off day every day, right?
It's a lot of off days.
I don't know. I'm not even looking at that. I'm looking at all that matters right now is Tuesday in Chicago at noon. Like, that is it. First pitch, 12:08 p.m. in San Diego.
Score.
Like,
score in the top of the first inning.
Yeah, I want it to be like 1-0 Padres at 12:09.
make that thing tense for Cubs fans and for their team. Because if you score in the top of the first inning, right, that changes the calculus, so to speak. All of a sudden, it's pins and needles in that building, and it takes on a whole new life. And the Padres have been scoring a lot early here recently, so hopefully they can score early again on Tuesday. We're going to get back to the conversation. Do want to remind you about our friends over at SeatGeek. They've got a terrific offer going on for you right now. If you use our promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, you're going to get $20 off your first order of $50 or more. We've hooked you guys up again, $20 off your first purchase with promo code PADSWRAP. Just click the link in the description, download the app, have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Now, here's the deal. Currently, you're not seeing Padres games listed because the Padres don't have any scheduled games as of yet. They need to win this series. But you could, Jim, still go see My Chemical Romance if you wanted to, at Petco, okay, even though this is August 30th, 2026. So in 11 months. So you could see My Chemical Romance in 11 months.
Well, you know you could see do.
The Breeders' Cup.
You know what you could do?
You could go to Wrigley.
You could go to Wrigley. If you're going to Wrigley, you can absolutely use SeatGeek.
Yes, you can. Here it is.
If you're on your way to Wrigley Field.
Are you serious? Get it for $110.
If you're going to Wrigley Field and you haven't purchased anything off SeatGeek before, use our promo code PODSRAP, PADSWRAP, because you'll get $20 off.
Yeah, and you can get in for $110 with fees. That's $220 for two tickets, $200 with the promo code. That's a pretty good deal.
That's a great deal. Do that right now. $200 for a postseason game? Look, I mean, it might be a little expensive for some people, but like, hey.
Who's going, by the way? In the chat, let us know if you're going.
Who's going? Someone. We've
got 500 people here. Someone's going.
Who's going to Wrigley?
Sunriser is going.
Who's going to Wrigley?
But anyway, if you're going to Wrigley, if you're going to Petco, if you're going to My Chemical Romance, use SeatGeek. Click the link in the description down below. Use our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. What else?
It's going to feel like the only thing that I do like about a noon start on Tuesday is we don't have to wait like basically what it feels like two full days.
Correct. We don't have to wait till Tuesday night, you're saying? Yeah, we have to. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, guys, and tell me I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong, Jim. I fully expected a day start. I knew the Yankees existed. I knew the Red Sox existed. And I knew the Dodgers existed. So I didn't think there was any path to anything other than playing in the middle of the afternoon in Chicago.
Also, I do think another factor here is the ABC factor, because ABC was getting one of these series.
Yeah, only one of them. Yep.
And you think they are going to take Tigers Guardians on ABC?
Tigers Guardians was said. Did you see who tweeted it before the series were announced? It was one of the Guardians players. Like, I wonder which series we're going to be, because it's freaking Yankees Red Sox were obviously going to be the night series,
right? But that obviously, was my point. Yeah.
Dodgers was always going to be the 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. It was never going to be Padres Cubs.
Yeah, and by the way, like, other than, I mean, the Reds feel like that, like, meme where like the kids are in the line, they're all dancing, right? And they're like all showing the moves, and then the white kid comes up, he's like this. It's like they feel so out of place. Yeah, they just feel like Tigers Guardians. That's a good matchup, sneaky good, because division opponents. Cubs, Padres, that's a good matchup.
Great matchup.
Red Sox, Yankees, of course. Dodgers, unbelievable. Reds. Like, what?
I mean, but that's what gives me a little bit of hope. Like, the Reds, I'll look like an idiot. I'm sure the Dodgers will win in two. You know, 10-0, 10-2. But, man, Reds, it's so house money, dude. You get in from nowhere.
You have
like a 2% chance within the last 10 days to get into the postseason. And then not only do you get in, you lose on the final day where you're susceptible to losing your spot. I mean, it's complete house money situation that, who knows? I mean, Terry Francona, young team, who knows? Best of three series. We would all laugh. We would all laugh if they could pull it off.
Yeah, that would be kind of crazy if that were to happen. But go Reds nonetheless.
Yeah. I mean, go Reds. And I mean, in terms of these series, I'm thrilled to just watch the postseason. Now, a lot of it's contingent on how the Padres play on Tuesday, because you're not going to feel great if they lose on Tuesday. I'm not going to be like, oh, I can't wait for this big Red Sox game. I don't care. Or I can't wait for this big Reds game. But I'm excited for all four of these series.
Oh, dude. All four of these series, if you're a baseball fan, feels like March Madness. It's like,
I'm into it.
Like, all day games on Tuesday, Wednesday, and we'll see what happens Thursday, but at least Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, it does suck if you have to work or if you go to school. I mean, that's the one part about it. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, like if you're like a person, it's going to be totally.
Yeah, but they have to do it on Tuesday and Wednesday just because how the season lines up. And, like, you know, football reasons, right? Like, you need.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, it's mostly how the season lined up. That's why they're doing it like this. But yeah, I mean,
oh, here's one thing to mention: the Padres are only playing at 12:08 in a game three. If there is a game three, if the other series are still going on,
right?
If either the Red Sox Yankees series or the Reds Dodgers series is over, the game gets pushed back. Now, how much further back? It's not that far. It's like a 1 or a 1:30 or a 2 Pacific, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. But they're only playing at 12:08 in game three if those series are still going, Yankees, Red Sox, and Dodgers, Reds. So it could be, my point is, it could be a little bit of a later start for the Thursday game. But still, it's going to be like a late afternoon Chicago start is the latest it could be. It's not going to be at night.
Right. Now, my question is to you, I mean, obviously, we're both picking the Padres, right? Are you picking the Cubs?
No, Cubs in two. Like I've been saying all year.
Cubs in one. Cubs in one.
I mean, the safe play. This is what I would bet. Honestly, if I was, what I bet is Padres in three.
Yeah, I would too.
Because that gives you a little bit of wiggle room. I'm not saying the Padres are about to be perfect here. They could easily lose a game.
They're underdogs, right?
But they're slight underdogs for the series.
What I was going to ask is, of the four series, we always get, you know, an upset here. Rarely do we see chalk. I wouldn't consider if the Padres win an upset, to be honest with you, just because of how like evenly matched they are. So take that out of the equation. Of the three other series, do you see any other upsets? Tigers over Guardians, Red Sox over Yankees, Reds over Dodgers.
I say two road teams win and move on.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I said that's. I think last year was three.
Yeah.
So I'll say two road teams win and move on.
I'll say the teams I'm taking, I'll take Padres. And I want to take the Reds, but
it's tough.
I'll take Padres Tigers.
Even the way the Tigers finished.
And they got Scooble game one.
I know, but the last time we saw him, he hit a dude in the face.
I know, but still, Scooble game one, like,
you're right.
That's the only reason why I'm taking him is because he got Scooble game one.
Dude, how crazy is Red Sox Yankees going to be?
Potentially pretty crazy. I mean, I don't feel that rivalry between the two. Like, I know it's obviously, duh, I get it. It's a rivalry.
But you don't feel the recent rivalry between the two.
I don't feel that recent rivalry. Yeah. Like, I feel like a Padres-Dodgers rivalry.
Yeah.
But that could be a very good series as well, for sure.
Give me this for the NLCS. Give me this. First two games right here. That's what I want. Give me that.
Reds have played the Padres good this year, though. That's the thing.
No, just kidding. Give me LA. Like, give me, I don't even know. Just give me the Padres and the NLCS.
Yeah, who cares?
So yeah, that would be nice. All right, guys. Well, while we have a moment, I do want to remind you about our friends over at Underdog. They've got three great offers going on for you right now. If you use our promo code PADSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP. Get $50 in bonus funds when you play $5 by using our promo code. Get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 and get a free gimme pick. You can use that in the postseason, by the way, higher or lower than a half total plate appearance, for example, for Fernando Tatis Jr., who's going to lead off on Tuesday. You just pair that with one other pick and you can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single day. So use our promo code. Click the link in the description down below. It's PADSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Get $50 in bonus funds when you play $5. You can play this week. The Wild Card Series will be underway. Get the 50% deposit match up to $1,000 and get a free gimme pick with our friends at Underdog.
Yeah, there's a QR code there. Scan it. It'll take you to the App Store. Download the Underdog Fantasy app. Use our promo code PODSWRAP. Start playing today.
All right. We will have you covered all week long.
Oh, yeah.
On the wrap-up show and on John and Jim. So tomorrow, join us at 2 p.m. Pacific. We will get you ready for the series with Kevin Acey, with Kevin Brown, who will call the series on television on ABC. And we will cover all the angles for Padres and Cubs as we get you ready for game one of that series on Tuesday at 12:08 p.m. Pacific. And then again, join us Tuesday morning for a wrap-up show. We'll have a kind of a pregame wrap-up. What would that be, like a warm-up show for you on Tuesday at 10 a.m.? And then, of course, we'll have John and Jim from 2 to 6. Then we'll have a wrap-up show at our normal time, 9:30 Pacific, on Tuesday night following Game 1 of Padres and Cubs. We cannot wait for this series, and we are here for you during the postseason as we were here for you during the regular season, which is now, believe it or not, over in 2025. And that second season gets underway Tuesday. If you have not subscribed to this channel, what are you waiting for? Please do that for us, okay? If you have not subscribed to this channel, please do that for us. We have year-round content for you. We appreciate you subscribing. Please smash the like button as well. Please follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. If you're here on replay, thank you for the super thanks. We appreciate your support of the channel. If you have not yet become a member, we will have new member emojis Tuesday. Hopefully they win, but I will have a new emoji for you on Tuesday. All right, join us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Support our partners, Mark Nimitz of Farmers Insurance, our friends at Lucky Box and Humboldt Casino, our friends at SeatGeek and Underdog Fantasy. We'll catch up tomorrow on the radio or on YouTube. Search for John and Jim. And for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Peace.
Peace.